and brother can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour, friends. For all the saints who from their labors rest, to thee by faith before the world confess, thy name, O Jesus, be forever blessed. Alleluia, alleluia. Yep, we are headed into All Saints Day, which falls on Sunday this weekend, which is a great time to celebrate the saints anyway, Sunday is, but now we are celebrating the saints on a Sunday. So we are celebrating them doubly, I suppose, Sunday and All Saints Day. I think I've said before, I anticipate, please God, I anticipate if I do have a feast day, this will be my feast day, and I'm guessing a number of yours as well. So I am in hope, hoping for this to be my feast day. And you know what? That's what really one of the things that All Saints Day really gives us is hope. It gives us hope. And that is something that we should really cling to as we celebrate the saints. In our second reading this Sunday for the gospel, the apostle, the evangelist John sums up his reading. It culminates with this line: everyone who has this hope based on him makes himself pure, based on God, that is, makes himself pure as God is pure, as he is pure. Hope converts us. Hope brings us into union with God. Hope is one of the theological virtues, of course, and is one that we are meant to practice and grow in throughout this earthly life. And great, as I quoted for all the saints there at the beginning, I also, if I may, just want to give you a little bit more. Verses 5 and 6, which aren't often sung. When the fight is fierce, the warfare long, steals on the ear the distant triumph song, and hearts are brave again and arms are strong. Alleluia, alleluia. And then the golden evening brightens in the west. Soon, soon to faithful warrior cometh rest. Sweet is the calm of paradise the blessed. Alleluia, alleluia. There is hope. There is a time, regardless of what you're facing right now, the trials, the tribulations, the sufferings, profound as they may be. Many of you, I know somebody, have lost loved ones to the pandemic and other ways that they have passed away during this time. There's isolation. There's a feeling of perhaps despair. But hope exists, and we all need to look to our Heavenly Father to provide that hope. Our gospel for this Sunday is the Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 5, the opening of the Sermon on the Mount. And remember, just a couple weeks ago, I was talking about this wedding garment that some guy made it into the wedding feast of the Lamb without and was thrown out. This wedding garment is woven together with the Beatitudes. So Beatitudes is a way of practicing this hope, to set our hearts on the injunctions, the commands they're given in the Beatitudes, and to live them out in our everyday life. So what are some things we can do to honor the saints on this All Saints Sunday? Well, we can use our imagination. This is one of the things I like to do, especially during Holy Mass, is to picture the saints gathered around. Sometimes our eyes are not the great revealers of the truth around us, and we need the eyes of faith to look upon us. Just like we look at the Eucharist, the Eucharistic species, and we see with our eyes of faith, we see Jesus. We practice our faith that way, and we see the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus. So also we can see the saints gathered around us, as I said, most vividly, most poignantly at Holy Mass. We can picture those saints and perhaps our favorite saints, the saints that we know so well, gathered right in the pews next to us, or if we're watching from home in the seats next to us as we partake in Mass. Because you know what? They really are there. They are there. Holy Mother Church teaches us that at every Holy Mass, the whole church, the church suffering, the church militant, and the church triumphant joins together in that celebration of the Mass. And so they really are present with us. We may need to just exercise our eyes of faith to see them there. Another thing that I would suggest, if I haven't suggested it before, I kind of think I might have, but I might suggest creating your own personal litany of saints that you appeal to all the time, but certainly in times of trouble, in times of needing to grow in the Lord, in times of maybe those times of despair. Who can you go to? Well, you know, we have saints. We have saints to call upon for their intercession. And it's a good idea to put together a litany of saints that you call upon regularly. And these can be saints like your birthday saint, your confirmation saint, your baptismal saint, if you have one of those, your name saint. Patrick is one that I call upon regularly. He's always in my list of my litany of saints, and others that are specifically appeal to you. There's no injunction against this. Go ahead and form your own personal litany of saints and call upon them regularly for their assistance, for their intercession as you go about each and every day. Celebrate the saints as we go into this All Saints Day weekend, and hold them up, and that they might pray for you, and that look ahead in hope to that day when, again, please God, we will join them and our Lord face to face. All right, coming up on the Rediscover Hour today, we've got Maria Wearing with us, and she is going to give us an inside look at the Catholic spirit. So how does the Catholic spirit actually function? She's going to pull back the veil here momentarily so we can talk about that. We've also got two representatives from Catholic Elder Care. Roxy and Oksana are with us to talk about caring for family members, especially aging family members, in the midst of COVID-19. And then later on, we're going to be speaking with Father Michael Van Sloan, who is the former pastor of St. Stephen's in Anoka, Anoka known as the Halloween capital of the world, about Halloween and Catholicism. That's what's coming out on the program today. Let's, as always, pause here at the top of the show, committing the show to our Lord through the intercession of one of our saints, of our Blessed Mother, as together we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. My first guest is Maria Wearing, who's the publication manager for the Archdiocesan Office of Communications, working with the Catholic Spirit, and we are grateful, as always, to have you back on the program, Maria. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Patrick. It's just a thrill to be here.
Yeah, and thank you for conducting that interview last week with Bishop Cousins. Thanks for standing in there. Appreciate that.
You're so welcome.
Yeah. Well, give us a little bit of a history of the Catholic spirit. Where did the paper actually come from?
So amazingly, we're 109 years old. So we began as a Catholic bulletin under Archbishop John Ireland, and our first issue was published on January 7th, 1911. And we have this great stack of old leather-bound volumes that show that from the beginning, the newspaper was a mix of news about the church and world news and how events in the broader culture affected the church. And there's also a long history in our pages of catechesis and commentary on current events from faith perspectives. And so in 1996, underneath Archbishop Flynn, we became the Catholic Spirit. So the name changed, but our history stayed intact. And today, we strive in every issue to provide a range of information with a strong local focus. And that really is like the crux of it, because there are a lot of places Catholics can turn to for national and world news, but we are the central place that Catholics can learn about what's going on in their local church.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm very grateful to continue to receive the Catholic Spirit, even though I'm living outside the Archdiocese now. And I frequently go to the Catholic Spirit website to peruse the news and the events that are going on there as well. So I am grateful, and I'm sure many people are really very familiar with the things going on in the Archdiocese because of the Catholic Spirit. So thank you for that, and thank you for your good work. So give us a little insight into what the day-to-day happens there. I'm picturing, you know, all my experiences just basically with movies and TV that has something to do with publications, and it always seems like everybody's in a frenzy all the time and meeting deadlines and stop the presses and all that sort of thing. Does that kind of stuff go on at the Catholic Spirit?
Not every day, but sometimes. I have literally picked up the phone and said, stop the press.
Awesome. Wow.
Yeah. But yeah. Thankfully, that's not every issue, because that's actually a very stressful moment. but on a normal day, we have a small but mighty team of nine and a faithful volunteer proofreader. Our paper goes to press 24 times a year, usually every other week, with a few 3-week cycles built into our press calendar. And we put the paper to press on a Tuesday afternoon. I'm actually speaking to you on a press day, and it's printed in the mailboxes on Thursday. And so that's a quick turnaround. But, you know, sometimes something happens on Wednesday and it changes something that we put in the paper the day before. And that's always like such a terrible feeling in the gut. But on a normal day, we are, you know, certainly things have changed around COVID. Prior to COVID, you know, our team is, somebody's usually off doing an interview, or our advertising rep is making calls. Someone's finishing up a story and it's on deadline and it's, hey, where is that? Or we're grabbing a photo. And so a lot of our work does take place at our desk in the Office of Communications. We have kind of our own newsroom that's part of this wing of our building. And then, but also, you know, we really do like to be out in the community as much as we can, because that's where the stories come from. That's where we meet people, and that's our great privilege, is to tell these stories of the community. And we can best do that when we're hearing, you know, with that person, we're either observing it ourselves or hearing it from that person face to face. And that is just the thing I love most about my job, is that we have this great privilege, and I'm sure you can understand this because you have the same, that you have a chance to just get right to the heart of conversations with people, because they're telling you about the things they hold most dear, you know, primarily their faith. And you're able to just drill down past the surface stuff to the things that really matter. And you have the great privilege of receiving that and then finding a way to package that in words, and sometimes the words fail, to really convey the great depth of faith and hope and love that is in the hearts of so many Catholics here in the Archdiocese.
Right. Yeah. And that's such an important thing. And yes, absolutely. It is a great privilege to be able to do just that, and to put words together to hopefully inspire others to a deeper relationship with Christ, certainly. What's your circulation like? I know you're sending out to the parishes, obviously, but you have quite, I would imagine, quite the extensive mailing list as well to individual Catholics.
Right. So our circulation is about 60,000 households in the Archdiocese.
Households,
and so we know that certainly those are going into homes, and that, you know, many of those homes have multiple people in living them. So we know that we reach, you know, tens of thousands of Catholics, you know, twice a month. And so that makes us a very large ministry in the Archdiocese. And I think that's been so important, especially during COVID, when people weren't for a period of time able to attend church. And still many people, especially elderly Catholics, are still not comfortable returning to church. And so we're still that touch point of the church with them.
Mm-hmm. Right. Just curious, too, when you were talking about being out in the community, doing interviews, getting the story directly from people and that sort of thing. Where do you get your story ideas?
Oh, so many ways. First of all, okay. I mean, our own team, we're just always trying to have our ears open in our own parishes and our conversations, in our own friendships, listening for, you know, people describing new trends or just their personal testimonies or a new parish program or ways that local events are affecting the church, you know, just in the broader culture and how the church is responding. So we're just, I think that we never turn it off. You know, we're always kind of filtering information that we're hearing. And, you know, and I've even gotten story ideas from, I'm a mom, and so from Catholic Facebook groups for moms, you know, be like, wow, that's a really interesting question. And I wonder, you know, who we could, you know, this person just asking, you know, crowdsourcing the question. But I'm like, I start thinking about, well, what expert could we get to answer that question in the Catholic spirit sometime? And so we're always looking for the questions that people want to have answered, or the stories that they're sharing just with their friends, that there might be something there for a lot broader audience. Mm-hmm. And so we also really rely on the relationships we have with leaders of parishes and schools and other Catholic organizations, so that when something important is happening with them, that they do let us know. And we love hearing from readers as well. You know, it is, I frequently get emails from readers saying, hey, this is happening, you know, in my corner of the Archdiocese, in my parish, or in my own family, and wondering if, you know, you'd be interested in this as a story, or how this might fit with your coverage. And not everything is always the right fit for us, and sometimes I share with other publications if it's a better fit for them. We really do appreciate hearing from all corners of the Archdiocese, because that way we can do our best to cover the geographic Archdiocese, you know, which is, you know, certainly beyond the 494-694 Beltway.
Right, right. Absolutely. I'm just curious what the specific way is that if people do have an idea for a story, how can they share that?
Absolutely. They can email catholicspirit@arch.org.
Okay. ARCHSPM.
Oh, excuse me, ARCHSPM.org. Yes.
Yeah. Catholicspirit@arcspm.org. Okay, very good. All right. So that's how they can email in a story suggestion. I'm on your website now, which is thecatholicspirit.com.
Yes.
And I note that right up near the top of the page there, you've got all the social networks represented, or at least
yes.
Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, YouTube, and even for an RSS feed, I see there too. So I'm just curious too about the playability of printed media in the midst of saturation of social media and other ways where it's electronic media as well. Have you seen the advent of electronic media and social media more of a challenge or more of an opportunity when it comes to the Catholic Spirit and its vision and goals?
Oh, I think it's a great opportunity, and that's I'm so glad you brought up our website and our social media, because that is a huge facet of the Catholic Spirit. You know, many people think about us as a print newspaper, and a lot of our time, because of it takes a lot more time, a lot of time to do a print product. So that's where a lot of our effort is focused. But at the same time, our website has such a broader range of stories. There, when news breaks, that's where you're going to find both local, national, and international news from the Vatican, news from the Holy Father, at our website, on our social media, or archive, you know, ideas for celebrating holy days, you know, like you mentioned, All Saints Day, ideas for commemorating our saints on our Pinterest. Like, we are able to use all these different channels to help Catholics access and keep all this different information. And so I do think that we are leveraging and working, always trying to find ways to better leverage the tools that social media give us. Of course, there are downsides of social media. We know that the commenting in social media can be ugly, uncharitable,
sure.
But we're always hoping that we can be a bright beacon, you know, showing up in someone's Facebook, in their feed, or present to them on Twitter, that we can be one of those sources that they're looking to get their Catholic news, or finding a fantastic feature story, and also being able to share those feature stories, because it's a super great, you know, you read something in the Catholic Spirit, really, you know, a story that really touched you, or something that you know other people need to read or hear, and social media makes that a really easy way to share that with others, and that's also a way of evangelizing.
Yeah, and it's a great way of interacting with people who might not be inclined to peruse a printed edition as well. That said, I got to say that when the printed edition does come to our house, my wife especially pores over it. I'm usually more of an online guy myself, but my wife pores over it and looks at all the things going on, and for faces she recognizes, and, you know, people she knows, that sort of thing. So keep up the good work with the print edition as well. And maybe I should ask you, Maria, just in case people are wanting to get the print edition in their homes, and especially during this COVID time when they might not be venturing out to their home parish, how can they do that?
That's a great question. So we do offer subscriptions, but most Catholics receive the Catholic Spirit for free through their parish. And
sure.
Many of them may not even realize that their parish signed them up. So when they move or switch parishes, they may stop getting it and not know why.
Yeah.
But for each parish, the Archdiocese subsidizes the cost of 40% of parishioners there to receive the Catholic Spirit. So the short answer is that the best thing a local Catholic can do is call his or her parish and ask to get on the list to receive the Catholic Spirit. So if they've noticed that they've had a lapse in receiving it, just to call their parish, and they will receive it in most cases at no cost to them. Now, certainly we also do offer subscriptions, and especially with Christmas coming up, we really think that the Catholic Spirit is a great evangelization tool for people to offer to adult children, grandchildren, godchildren, a way of you helping bring the church and the Archbishop's message and the Holy Father's words into their home. You don't have to. They don't have to go to a website. They don't have to, you know, go out and make their own subscription. You can bring it into their homes, and so it's also a great way to spark that conversation, like we had talked about, like someone asking, "Hey, did you read that in the Catholic Spirit?" And then it can prompt those conversations about faith and you know, sometimes challenging topics with others. And through the end of the year, subscriptions are just $20.20. So that is
what?
A great deal.
That's crazy. A bargain at twice the price. Wonderful.
That's right.
Yeah. So just got a couple minutes left with you, Maria, but wanted to get your take too. You've mentioned the great way that the Catholic Spirit can be used as an evangelization piece, as a tool for evangelization. And you've alluded to how it's a connection as well. How specifically would you say that it connects people in this local church, in this archdiocese?
Well, I think that it creates a sense of community and a sense of familiarity. And so, first of all, with them and their archbishop, we're the archbishop's newspaper. And that doesn't mean that he's, you know, over our shoulders with every single issue, but it means that we convey his priorities and the direction of the church. And so, as Catholics can understand that from the archbishop, it creates a sense of familiarity between their shepherd and them, and so strengthening those connections. But then also by understanding what is going on in their neighboring parish, their local school, even if their kids don't attend it, what's going on with the Minnesota Catholic Conference and the legislature, what's going on with other organizations. We have so many fantastic organizations doing so much great work in the Archdiocese. All the understanding creates these bonds of connection, and it creates a sense of community. And especially as people are spending more times in their homes and are in need of this community, it can be one of those places that strengthens those bonds of family, truly, and unity. Mm-hmm. And so that we can all, you know, have this, have shared knowledge, have a shared understanding of the direction of the local church, and also then have a way to understand ourselves as truly as members of,
right,
of a local church of the archdiocese, even though we attend different parishes.
Exactly. I know when we were reading the local paper, not the Catholic paper, but the local secular paper growing up, there was always the possibility of reading it somewhat distanced from the news that was actually there, even though it did oftentimes affect our life. Sometimes it was rather tangentially. But the wonderful thing about the Spirit is that God has knit us together as a local church. And so we are truly reading about our brothers and sisters in Christ, our family members in Christ, when we read the Catholic Spirit. So that's my little promo for the Catholic Spirit as well.
Well said.
Maria, it's great to be on the same team with you. It's great to continue working so that others may be inspired together with you. So thank you so much for joining us on the Rediscover Hour. God bless you as you continue your good work.
Thank you, Patrick. God bless you.
All right. We're going to go into our first break. Yeah, it's our first break. When we come back, we've got Roxy and Oksana with us to talk to us about Catholic elder care. Stay with us. Rediscover.
I don't think every Catholic really knows what the church teaches and what the truth is. And that's why I thank God for venues like Relevant Radio, where you're teaching what God teaches.
We're here to help you. We're here to say, hey, this is where true happiness will be found. Here's the truth about marriage. Here's the truth about life. Here's the truth that will bring you fulfillment. And you're not going to find that any other place than in Jesus Christ. And Relevant Radio's whole mission is to make sure that message reaches you and souls who perhaps are really blinded by the great deception of our day, by the culture. If you really want to change your culture, keep Relevant Radio booming.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. There are both spiritual and practical benefits to joining our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. You can review all those benefits at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or call 1-877-291-0123. 1-877-291-0123.
Let your light shine down, come around and live in us, for the close and the far.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Joining me now, Roxy Teets is an LPN and Director of Adult Day Services at Catholic Elder Care, and Oksana Karpenko is an RN and Director of Home and Community-Based Services for Catholic Elder Care. Ladies, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Patrick, for having us.
Very excited that you can join us. Roxy, do I have your last name right?
Yes, you do, Teets.
Teets, okay, very good. The German pronunciations sometimes come a little bit more difficult for me. But anyway, I'm so grateful that you could join us, and thank you for your good work working with our elders and our elderly. So let's start with just a question, and maybe, Roxy, we'll start with you. What are some of the options that Catholic Elder Care offers in assistance to aging family members?
Well, Catholic Elder Care is a full continuum of living choices for seniors. We have two independent apartments, Windrus, which is at market rate, and River Village North, which is a HUD 202 property with income restrictions. We have two assisted living properties offering efficiency or one-bedroom apartments, as well as assisted living memory care options. And then our long-term care is a 150-bed skilled nursing care center with a 24-bed private room transitional care center that we also run the day program Monday through Friday. So we do have two campuses in Northeast Minneapolis, and we have five buildings within those two campuses, and we've been in the neighborhood for over 35 years.
Mm. And Oksana, is this one of the things that, like, I know that in some of them you can move as you age and maybe new complications or difficulties arise. You can move from, say, independent living to assisted living or something along those lines?
Yes, Patrick. You know, it's a great continuum of care, and we have those elderly in assisted livings that need a higher level of care with the continuum of our organization within Catholic Elder Care. They can move to transitional care unit or long-term care. So it is a great way to keep the families together with their residents and within that Catholic community to be able to provide this continuum of care and communicate the needs of patient and making them at the center of their care and prioritizing their needs. So it's a great way to start having your loved one at an assisted living, and as needs arise, they can stay within our organization and continue building that trust within us, and we can provide the best care for them.
That's wonderful, and what a great idea to have all these options available, so thank you for that. Roxy, back to you. Now, we're in the midst of a pandemic that has taken a toll, especially on our senior citizens and our elderly brothers and sisters. So what has caring for the elderly, caring for senior citizens, what has that looked like since the advent of COVID-19?
Well, there have definitely been a lot of changes since COVID arrived early this calendar year.
Sure.
We definitely were continuously adjusting policies and procedures. We have to follow the guidelines issued from the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention, also Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, and the Minnesota Department of Health. So it's a big challenge.
Sure.
Keeping our residents and families and also just staff up to date on all of the changes that are constantly happening is really just a continuous process. We've changed the way that we work daily. We have required personal protective equipment that we must wear, along with required testing, and we do screening for everyone, all residents in long-term care, memory care. When our participants come to the day program, we check everyone's temperatures. We are constantly talking about COVID symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely changed a lot, but in so many ways still the same too. We're still providing the great care that we always provided, but just a little twist on things nowadays.
Yeah, and Oksana, from your perspective, anything that you would add to that? How have things changed during COVID-19?
As Roxy stated, we have not changed having our patients as a priority, but, you know, we change how we deliver that care and providing that weekly communication to our staff, to our families, to our tenants, also screening them daily, making sure that we wear the protective protection equipment. It's such an importance that we work as a family and continue to stay strong and protect each other and protect our residents. Also out in the communities, it has been a blessing and a challenge at the same time. But when we work together, and especially as a whole, as the Catholic Elder Care organization, it strengthens us to protect our residents and for the future.
One thing different that the long-term care has added, they have a closed-circuit channel 6. And, you know, the residents, a lot of the residents were used to going to daily mass, weekly rosary, and we've been able to provide that to them still through this closed circuit channel 6. And the residents are loving that. They're still feeling like we can have prayer groups together, but still be apart.
Right. And that's one of the tolls that I think the pandemic has taken on all of us, but specifically our senior citizens and our elderly, as they find themselves perhaps in a more heightened state of isolation from loved ones, from their church, from their faith, and from many different ways of connecting. And so just to move from Catholic elder care specifically to all of us who I'm sure have relationships with people who are senior citizens, be they family members or acquaintances or friends, and what can we do in the midst of this to care well? And I'll toss this one to you first, Roxy. What can we do to care well for the senior citizens, the elderly in our midst who may be experiencing that lack of connection?
Well, first of all, you know, they really are missing the connection that they had with their families, with the community outside. A lot of people that live at Catholic Elder Care are from Northeast. Northeast is a big supporter of Catholic Elder Care. And it does definitely help when people send, we've had people just send cards, not even addressed to a particular person. But if we know that somebody's real lonely and looks like they need a card today, why don't we give them that card that came in the mail that wasn't addressed to anyone?
There you go.
Yeah, and you know, so if there is a local nursing home that and somebody's looking for something to do, cards are a really good thing. They love them. Anybody loves to get mail. And also just keep in touch with your loved ones. Even though you might not be able to see them, they might not be able to work video calls right now, but the staff here are willing and able to help them. So even though you can't see them in person, seeing them on the screen definitely makes a difference. It makes them feel closer to their family and helps a little bit with that missing them during this time.
It is very important. Now, I fully realize that I am speaking on a media that is audio only and not video, but at the same time, it really is for that personal connection. Seeing a face can do a lot, and I've really noticed that as we've had to rely a lot more on technology to connect ourselves with our loved ones. Oksana, same question to you. Any suggestions you might have about how people can care for and yet keep safe their senior citizens, their elderly that they're in relationship with?
Yep. You know, in my practice, as I myself have experience that it not only takes one person to help and communicate with their family members, it takes a whole team. Here, even just sitting down with the resident or even for that few minutes or talking over the phone and being a support in any way is such an importance for elderly to protect them from that isolation. Having others to get involved, not just nursing, such as dining staff, housing. It's such a big issue in terms of that our elderly need some type of communication, and pivoting from in-person family visits to using technology, window visits, outdoor visits, that's what we have been trying to do to keep loved ones connected to families. And yes, it is more becoming, technology is becoming more common, but we are still in this together where we can come and make this happen and make them feel loved and make them feel cared for, not just by technology, but just showing them that we care, that we protect them on a daily basis. It's challenging and it's tough for everybody. And us alone as healthcare workers, it is important for ourselves to stay protected and out in the community because we are the ones that are coming and caring for these elderly. And protecting ourselves and coming to work and protecting them is, you know, is a great blessing and a very great resource that we gain from Minnesota Department of Health and Center Disease of Prevention to be able to know how to care for these elderly and provide the best care and quality care for them that we can.
Right, and that's very important. And again, grateful that you're doing it. Roxy, back to you. Just have there been any specific residents there in Catholic Elder Care that have exuded a spirit of an uplifted spirit, even in the midst of all of the challenges that come with a pandemic? And if so, what have they been doing, or how have they been keeping their spirits up?
You know, this is definitely a faith-based community, and a lot of our residents are really keeping up with their faith and praying. We try to keep the news off as much as possible. We want them to be informed, but we also don't want this doom and gloom all day long. So we really try to have a lot of fun things going on with that Channel 6. We try to get them together, even though they're in their rooms. We try to do some sing-alongs. They show movies on there every night. They end with some relaxing music, and we definitely went around and surveyed the residents of the things that they would like to see on there, things that would keep them busy. And they definitely play Patsy Cline in concert and Reba McEntire. Yep, as often as they can. So. you know, the residents are really praying for everyone. They're praying that we overcome this as a community, and we will. I think things are looking up. We're going to keep going and keep praying and stay positive.
Amen. That's right. And Oksana, same to you. What have you seen any specific exemplary, remarkable actions by any of the residents or any of the elderly that you're in contact with, any of the senior citizens you're in contact with, who have really managed to keep their spirits up even in the midst of the pandemic? And if so, what are they doing?
You know, we as nurses, we make those daily calls to check on our residents and screen them for symptoms. And some of them are so uplifting, as Roxy stated. You know, we are a Catholic Elder Care community, and, you know, they pray and they praise and they say there will be better days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they sometimes even come and support us as staff members and say, you know, we're in this together. They provide words of caring and also having that everyday phone conversation with each resident is so important, that they were able to hear their concerns, were able to hear their positive views on days and what they think of everything that has been going on. And yes, there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and I believe that if we stay strong together and we continue work together and continue providing the best care that we can, we will overcome this. One day we will all celebrate and say, you know, we did it and we protected our residents and our staff.
Right. So, Roxy, just quickly, as we only have about a minute left, I just wanted to ask you, with Catholic Elder Care specifically, and seeing that we're heading into All Saints Day here this weekend, what have you, or are there any particular saints that you call upon in the midst of, in the midst of caring for elderly?
Do you mean like Saint Michael?
Sure.
Yeah, St. Michael, you know, we got to keep our faith up during this time as much as we can. We just got to keep praying, and we got to keep reminding each other that things will be better. And we just got to keep supporting each other. We're going to get through it, and it's not easy right now, but, you know, we've had great community support here in Northeast. We've had a lot of organizations step up and donate food, donate homemade masks, donate personal protective equipment. And so I feel like we're just really getting a much bigger sense of community, even that we more than what we had before. And, you know, Northeast loves Catholic Elder Care, and we love them too. So
great.
We're
so
trying to stick together.
Some living saints in our midst. So that's always what we need as well. So, Roxy Tietz and Oksana Karpenko, thank you so much for joining us on the Rediscover Hour. God bless you as you continue this good work.
Thank you, Patrick. God bless you.
All right. Check them out online, CatholicElderCare.org, O-R-G. We'll be back right after this with our next interview with whom Father Michael Von Sloan is with us to talk about Halloween and Catholicism. Stay with us. Rediscover.
Morning Air. Experts with insight on our Catholic faith.
The strategies of Satan. Father Robert McTagg is joining us.
Colton Sheen said that the moment
before we sin, the devil is our defender. He's on our side. After we sin, then the roles are reversed. Then Christ becomes the defender and the devil the accuser. And so the devil fills us with despair.
You know, here in Confessions, one of the lies that Satan does to people is it tells us that we're defined by our sin. And I have to become indignant on behalf of these good souls and say, no, the most important thing about us is our baptism. And it's a relationship with Christ that defines us. And in every instance of temptation, it's identity theft. Satan wants to tell you you're on your own. There's no one you can cut a deal with but me. And we have to stand up and say, no, I'm an adopted child of God. I'm an heir to the kingdom. I don't have to give in.
Morning Air, 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Relevant Radio.
Say, take this bread, take this wine. Now the simple made divine for any to receive.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you again, along with Cami Berthume, our producer, Paul Sonic, our technical producer, coming to you through the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley. My next guest is Father Michael Von Sloan, who's the current pastor of St. Bartholomew Catholic Church in Wayzata, and he previously served 18 years at St. Stephen's in Anoka. Anoka, as I said, noted as the Halloween capital of the world. So we thought it would be a good idea to get you on, Father, to talk a little bit about Halloween and Catholicism. First of all, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Patrick. It's a joy to be on the program, and you did just a fantastic job on Relevant Radio.
And well,
so
thank you
for the ministry that you do to all your listeners.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that, Father. So let's talk about Halloween and its origins. Can you tell us a little bit about the origins of Halloween?
Well, I mean, if you want to talk about the spiritual origins, and that's
sure.
Really the thing that I'm most excited about. I think that what's happened is that our American society and in general, they've kind of paganized a very beautiful Catholic and Christian feast. So, I mean, the origins are absolutely All Saints Day.
Sure.
And so All Saints Day is a solemnity, and we're celebrating the greatest saints of our Catholic faith. And so we want to feature them. And I think that you know that for most, you know, like for Christmas, we always have the vigil before it. You know, for Easter, we have the Easter vigil before it. So on major feast days, we have the night before it as part of the celebration of the next day.
Right.
And so for All Saints Day, which is the solemnity, there's a vigil for that, which is what we call now Halloween.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, yep, that is definitely where we get the concept of Halloween. But any idea of some of the things that have gone into it in terms to make it a little bit more what it is today in terms of the modern understanding of it, the modern celebration, if you want to call it that, of Halloween?
Well, as people step away from some of the values of the church, then they want to try and celebrate, you know, they want to make fun of it and do some things that are actually contrary to the beliefs of the church.
Mm-hmm.
So if you would even take the name Halloween, it means, so hallow, you know, like hallowed be thy name, it means holy, and een is a British contraction of the word evening, so the word Halloween means holy evening, and so it should be a holy evening, so when you step away from that, then you do witches and goblins and vampires and cobwebs and spiders and all of those kind of things. And that certainly isn't celebrating the values that we hold dearest to our hearts as far as our faith is concerned.
Hmm. And one of the things that continues to arise around this time of the year especially is some of the very different takes on, and even different takes from within the church about how Halloween should, and Halloween tradition should or should not be upheld. from, well, certainly some of them are very obvious that as faithful Catholics, we just cannot participate in. But some of the traditions may or may not be, depending on who you ask. So I'm going to just flat out ask you, Father, what are ways that, what are some of the things that we should avoid as faithful Catholics doing on Halloween? And what are some of the things that maybe we need to do with a little bit of prayer and reflection before we enjoin in them? And then are there any that are kind of harmless?
Well, I mean, certainly people dressing up is a lot of fun, and going out and trick-or-treating is a lot of fun. I would avoid some of the things that are like of the macabre. You know, they're featuring death and, you know, featuring violence. And a lot of times people dress up, and I wouldn't dress up in things that I would never want to imitate or hold up as something that, you know, would be worthwhile. There's so many good things that a person could do. So I would avoid, you know, like dressing up in roles that are contrary to what we think are good things.
Yeah, good point.
You know, so I mean, I just today I was driving to the parish, and I'm driving past the front yard, and it was all decorated as a graveyard. There was tombstones everywhere.
Mm.
You know, and so we feature the resurrection, and we feature the joy of that. You know, and to emphasize the macabre, I just, you know, that would be contrary to what we're about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Very good. I like that, and I understand that. That sounds good to me. Curious about going back to your time in Anoka, and I don't know very well myself, but I've heard rumor of some of the practices that kind of surround this time of the year for Anoka as well. Did you notice anything when you were up there? Was there any a heavier sense of spiritual darkness or anything like that in and around Halloween?
Well, they have a shop in town where they sold stuff, and I mean, it was drug paraphernalia and all that kind of stuff with this.
Mm.
And so some of the things that are associated with it certainly are not anything to be held up. You know, it's amazing the way the decorations happened. I've read some places where this is the second most decorated day, you know, in terms of people putting out things on their porches and front lawns right behind Christmas.
Yeah, I've heard this too, yeah.
But there were really good things in Anoka, too. So we had, it was amazing, there were three parades. How many towns have three parades to feature their main day? So there was the Friday closest to it, they had a school day, a school parade that was in the afternoon. And then on the weekend, on the Saturday, they would have a parade during the day and a parade in the evening. So they really made a big deal about it, and the town really came out. So there was a lot of fun and civic pride and all of that. But I certainly would like to... I felt it was a great place to make a countercultural statement.
Amen.
And say, you know, we've stepped away from the religious values of this feast day, and so let's now go back to the roots and feature what this is really about. So instead of dressing up like goblins and witches, let's dress up like saints.
Yeah, excellent suggestion.
So I don't know if you're familiar with some of the stuff about trick-or-treating.
No.
But in the tradition, on the night before All Saints Day, people wanted to act like saints, and so they would go to door with their bags, and they would collect food, and then they would give the food to the hungry and the needy. I mean, so what a shift it is that the kids would go and get candy, and then they would gouge themselves with candy.
Right.
When initially it was about selfishness and selflessness and reaching out to the poor, and now it's a kind of a selfish thing. It's what's going to give me fun and give me pleasure, and I'm not thinking about other people. Sometimes I don't even want to share my candy with my brothers and sisters.
Right, right. Yeah, that was going through my head too. And then they come home and they fight with their siblings about who gets what candy, and yeah, stealing candy from one another and that sort of thing. Yeah, exactly. Any other suggestions about how we can honor the saints this All Saints Day, Father?
Well, I think that dressing up like saints is the countercultural way that we can respond to this, instead of dressing up all those other ways. So what we did at St. Stephen's when I was there, and now we do this at St. Bart's too, is like we're going to show people what our values are, and we are going to dress up like saints. And so at school, then we go, you pick out a saint, you study your saint, and now you get a costume that's going to show that saint. It's amazing how this works, because the kids learn a lot, and then they go home and talk to mom and dad about their saint. Now we're teaching mom and dad about the saints.
What kind of saints... Sorry, go ahead. Nope, go ahead.
And so then mom and dad help them do it. So mom and dad are learning a lot about the saint that their child has chosen.
Right.
Then they've got like the little biography of their saint. They're dressed up like their saint. They bring it back to class. You got 20 kids in class. So this one youngster has really learned that saint and is exposed to all of the other saints that all of their classmates have dressed up like. It's really a great catechetical deal and lifting up the greatest people in our tradition and helping the kids learn about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any obscure saints? Do the kids ever pick obscure saints that are little known?
Oh, they regularly do. But Patrick,
oh, really?
You'll be really happy about this.
Okay.
What saints are most frequently chosen? After Mary and Joseph, who is the third most popular saint?
Well, if you said I'd be really happy about it, would this be a certain Irish saint?
It would be a very certain Irish saint, a great bishop that catechized Ireland.
Yes, who wasn't actually Irish. Let me go on record as saying, I understand he wasn't born in Ireland. Anyway, sorry, go ahead, Father.
But really and truly, I mean, St. Patrick is so popular. It was amazing when you mentioned All Saints Day with your previous interview.
Yeah.
You know, with the person for Catholic Elder Care. What saint do you invoke? You know, what's my name?
Yeah. Exactly, Father or Saint Michael, she said. Yeah, that's right.
So Michael and Patrick are right on the front.
Yeah, good. Glad to hear it. That's wonderful. Maybe just digressing just slightly from that, but also just it does cast thoughts back to people selecting saints for confirmation, say patrons of confirmation. Can you just shed a little bit of light on that, on why that's done?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I just wrote a little piece like that for the Catholic Spirit. And so people have always wondered about that. You've got your baptismal saint. And so the tradition of the church is that we're going to pick out one more saint as you're making your adult faith commitment. And you're going to have now, in addition to your guardian angel and your patron saint, now you're going to have your confirmation saint, who's going to be an intercessor and a companion for you through your a full adult faith journey. I think it's a very rich tradition.
Right. I was speaking a little...
Maybe you have a confirmation name?
I'm sorry?
You have a confirmation name.
I do, yes. St. Anselm of Canterbury is my confirmation saint.
And so then you have a special devotion to St. Anselm?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a special awareness of it? When people ask you about it, you're able to share a little bit about that. So I pick St. Joseph.
Okay.
You know, that was my dad's middle name, and... You know, he's a great worker and, patron saint of the dying, too, and the husband to Mary. So there was so many reasons to. So I'm Michael Anthony Joseph.
Nice. Absolutely. Well, good, Father. It's a pleasure to speak with you, and we're grateful that your good work in ministry continues there at St. Bartholomew's now. And congratulations on recently celebrating your 25th anniversary of ordination to the priesthood as well.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, grateful for your many years there as well. And as with all of our clergy guests, we always like to ask them for a blessing. So, Father, would you mind giving us and all of our listeners an on-air blessing, please?
Absolutely. So we call down Almighty God to be with us, particularly during this Halloween celebration and during All Saints Day. And so as our youngsters go about trick-or-treating, we ask you, Lord, that you would give them safety. We ask you, too, Lord, that you would keep us mindful of all your saints that you've given to serve us, that they would inspire us on our Christian journey and be great intercessors for us in heaven before you. And as always, we make all our prayers through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Well, Father, thank you so much. We're grateful for, again, your words of wisdom and your continued ministry. God bless you as you continue on there at St. Bart's.
Thank you very much, Patrick. I appreciate the opportunity.
All right. All right, we're going to go into our final break. As you know, there are still things going on virtually. There's all sorts of ways that we can grow our faith, and that's important around All Saints Day, that we might be saints as well. Stay with us.
What does Relevant Radio mean to you?
Thank you so much for all that you do for all of us, and you touch all of our lives in so many ways, and probably ways you don't realize. I've been a listener for over 10 years, and it's amazing.
Powered by you, this is listener-supported Relevant Radio.
What do you think the greatest act of love that we could do right now would be? I think it is to help other people know Jesus Christ. Well, how can I do that? Well, it's simple. You know, you invite people. You talk about your faith. you share things. You don't have to do it perfectly. And then the other thing you need to do is you need to support organizations who are doing good work, like Relevant Radio.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Donate now. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. There are both spiritual and practical benefits to joining our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. You can review all those benefits at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or call 1-877-291-0123.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. As cooler temps and snow arrives, let's stay safe and healthy and help others to do so too. If you go to Mass, wear your mask, and if you're not feeling well, please stay home. For anyone who isn't venturing out for Mass, check out archsbm.org/COVID-19 for many spiritual resources and alternatives to in-person Mass.
And you can always hear daily Mass and devotions here on Relevant Radio. Join us Monday through Friday for daily Mass at noon and 7:30 p.m., Divine Mercy Chaplet at 3 with Drew Mariani, Sunday Mass at 9 a.m. and noon, and don't forget the Family Rosary Across America every night at 7 with Father Rocky.
Good stuff. Praying the Rosary is wonderful stuff. Encounter Jesus' love and mercy as a beloved child of God. Just like we were just hearing our identity is not in our sin, but it's in being a child of God. The Healing and Hope Virtual Retreat, part of the Archdiocesan Synod, is underway, featuring teaching from clergy and lay people from around the Archdiocese, and you can still join in. Just go to archsbm.org/events, where you can find all the past videos, as well as how to partake.
Men ages 16 to 50 considering the priesthood or religious life, join Archbishop Hebda, Bishop Cousins, and Father David Bloom for Speaking of Vocations, a virtual event loaded with testimonials on priesthood and religious life, Tuesday, November 3rd, 6 p.m. For information and registration, go to archsbm.org/events.
And while you're there at archsbm.org/events, you might as well check out some of the other upcoming events that
might
are going
well.
On around the Archdiocese. Yeah, you're there anyway, right? And remember, you can still sign up to receive local evangelization updates. Stay inspired and inspire the faith of others during this pandemic. Go to archsbm.org/evangelization. And all you got to do there is enter your email address.
And don't forget to follow Rediscover Faith on Facebook and Evangelization ArchSPM on Instagram.
Yeah, that's right. And Paul, you know that we've talked a little bit about that virtual pilgrimage to Lourdes that's going on, it's on Sunday. That's going on Sunday, a virtual pilgrimage to Lourdes. I don't know if they're still taking registrations or not, but you can check it out, archspm.org/events.
That looks like a good one.
Yeah. Have you been to Lourdes yourself, Paul?
I haven't. I want to.
Yeah.
It's a longtime desire of mine.
I had the privilege of being there once, and it was indescribable. It was in a good way.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I suppose I should throw that in. It was indescribable in a good way. Very holy place. And the recitation of the rosary was just something that will be long live in my spiritual memory here on earth. And
I'm a longtime fan of the movie Song of Bernadette.
Okay.
Starring Jennifer Jones, Vincent Price, Charles Bickford. Check it out. It's well worth seeing.
Okay. Song of Bernadette. Yep. I'll put that on the list. And, you know, also, for anybody who is going, the virtual pilgrimage probably won't have this opportunity, but the real pilgrimage or the in-person pilgrimage to Lourdes, yeah, watch out, because that Lourdes water is not warm. That's my only warning, I would say.
Yeah.
Yes, it is not warm, to be sure. All right, well, I want to wish a very happy All Saints Day, All Solemnity to all of you who are listening. Thank you for joining with us in the Rediscover Hour, and thank you for celebrating the saints. Quick word, too, so for all those who have passed before us that we honor on our Souls Day, November 2nd, eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them. May their souls and the souls of all the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace.
Amen.
All right. Well, next time we do have Our Lady of Lourdes featured, but it's from Julie Craven from Our Lady of Lourdes in Minneapolis. She's going to be with us to feature our Great Catholic Parishes segment. She is going to be with us and telling us about everything going on at that parish. Thank you for joining us this time around, folks. In the meantime, go to church or stay at home and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturday afternoon at 1, and Sunday afternoon at 2 on Relevant Radio 1330. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.